My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be with that Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Every Monday at 7 o'clock, we check in with ESPN.com Commanders insider John Keim. He joins us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. What's up?
So, John, before we get into the game stuff, EB asked a question and none of us really had the answer. Why was Jamin Davis inactive? Do you know the answer?
I don't have the good answer there either. So it's funny because that did not come up after the game. And, you know, he wasn't on the injury report or anything like that. And so I don't have a good answer. Sorry.
I'm wondering if it was like disciplinary or, I mean, because he played pretty well. I just don't understand the thing.
Yeah, I can't imagine some sort of disciplinary thing. That's not Davis, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer for that. And it's something like after the game, there's so many other things to talk about, but that is something that more to ask today, like why that one? Because last week he had a couple nice plays. It's not like I watched every play and grade every play of his, but you saw some things that were pretty good. And, you know, so, yeah.
I think that the reason maybe it's relevant to us is they didn't have much of a pass rush yesterday. Daniel Jones, very comfortable, and Jamin is somebody who at least there's some hope that he would provide some pass rush. What'd you make overall of the defensive pressure?
Well, a couple of things. One, where Davis actually has helped them is more against the run. He hasn't applied the pass rush as a pass rusher from the edge. He was better maybe if he's standing up and maybe looping to the inside, those kind of things. So I don't know that that would have been much different at all. But as far as the pressure goes, where I have the bigger problem is the run, because they're getting hurt on the ground.
Yep.
And gaps are there, and used to seeing Payne and Allen being way more effective inside than they've shown so far. And not putting it all on them, because when you're defending the run, it takes more. But it's just, you know, you're used to seeing these guys make more plays, and you know, across the board, we're not seeing that. And so I think, to me, that's more troubling than the pass game, because if you can't stop the run in this league, you're going to have a long season.
Yeah.
Are you putting that on the – I mean, I know it's not all on the defensive tackles. Are you putting some of that on the linebackers and the safeties too, missing tackles?
Well, I think you put it on everybody when you're doing that, because when you know in the past what we've always seen, and whenever there's a run defensive struggles, guys are getting out of gaps, guys are getting moved, so it's all of that. And there's sometimes, you know, it could be a safety fit, but it's usually has seemed like guys are getting moved a little bit or out of the gaps inside for whatever reason. And it's just, you know, and I also wonder too, like, they just didn't spend a much time playing together this preseason. And I wonder if there is still a lingering effect on that, or is it, what is it? And I think that's going to be something to watch. And I don't have a good answer for that. So, because we've seen it, but what I know is there are too many big gaps that guys are getting through. And it's, it's going to be hard to survive if you don't improve in that area.
I was under the
pressure has to get better too. I thought there'd be more, a little bit more pressure designs that would help. But
100%. That's exactly what I was going to bring up, John. Yeah. I was under the impression this was going to be more like a Greg Williams defense, where you got pressure coming from all places, you know, because you know you can't hold up on the back end, so you're going to have to take some chances. And then I'm watching this, and I feel like Ron and Jack are coaching the defense at times.
And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about that this morning, too, and just, like, I thought, you know, why does it take, again, because – and I don't want to just put everything on it's new, but it is new, right? But I don't want to just say, well, it's just because it's new, because I don't know that it's just because of that. I don't know. But yes, I thought there'd be a little bit more of that. And I do, it's not like they're not sending pressures. They are, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's one where when I go back and watch this morning is just to watch more of that. Like, what is going on there? Are they as effective? Why, right? That's always a question. But I thought there'd be a little bit more. But again, I don't want to say that they're, you know, I know I've seen some, but what I know is it's not getting home.
Right.
And, you know, so, and sometimes guys have to win, you know, and if you're not having guys that win enough, then it's just going to be a struggle. But I thought there'd be a little bit more of that. And, you know, does it take time to build to that? You know, I think we'll see. But I know we all know it has to get better. And I, you know, I think that defense was really bad last year, and, you know, it was really bad. And so there were a lot of changes for a reason, but man, it's got to get better.
So John, through 2 weeks, Evans, Godwin, and now Neighbors have feasted on the secondary. Jamar Chase and possibly T. Higgins coming back from a hamstring injury loom on Monday Night Football. How did they make adjustments? Because we know that Chase is going to be motivated. He's got 10 catches for a little bit under 100 yards at this point. He's looking to have a big game against, obviously, a depleted secondary.
And then Marvin Harrison Jr. too, the week after. So, and a very improved Arizona offense. So, yes, how does it improve? I mean, it goes back to I'll say this. Like, again, you've got to stop the run. You've got to apply pressure because the corners are what they are. And that's not going to change. And, you know, when you're in position to make a tackle, make a tackle. You know, and there were a couple of times. And then there were a couple of times, too, like with Neighbors, where he's running the crosser and Wagner gets caught up in traffic and he and Davis collide a little bit, and that's all he needed. But, and I don't know, I think he probably had to get in the ball anyways, but, you know, so some of those are little, that's a little thing that you can clean up, right? Like something like that. But the, you know, again, I would say you've got to apply some pressure.
All right, let's talk.
Because that's the way that you can increase that. I just don't see how you're not going to change who you have in the secondary.
All right, let's talk about some of the positives. First, we'll start with Brian Robinson. Maybe a star turn for him. I don't know. I thought he looked great in the preseason. Week one, didn't really see that. But this is kind of what I was hoping for. I didn't expect 8 yards per carry. But he really looked good. And then, you know, Eckler looks like he's got his legs. So, I mean, I really like that duo. In fact, I'd still like to see him use Eckler even more.
They're very effective. And I think I think what we're seeing from those two is legit. Robinson, with a couple things, like he had, someone else said this in the press box, like he's running angry. And like that fourth down and one, he just barreled over somebody 5 yards after first contact, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think the vision has been pretty good. I like the design of the run game better in terms of like, you know, with the pulling action, et cetera. And then, also, I think it was on the 32-yard run, this is where Jaden Daniels helps. And we saw this with Robert in 12, right, where you have to honor the quarterback's legs. And there was one time where Thibodeau is coming up as a left end, could have just come right at the mesh point and just and leveled Robinson, but he's got to pause because of Daniels. And then Cosme's pulling, takes care of another tackle. Biotis just seals Lawrence inside, and there goes Robinson for 32. But that's like the little detail on that with the threat of the legs helps create some of that, right? And then, I mean, listen, Robinson has vision and all that, but if without that, then, you know, you're talking about a guy who's like, you know, maybe in the backfield getting tackled. But it, so I think, like, I think this is legit for them. Now, obviously, he's not going to average 8 yards a carry, but I think you can use him a lot more. And I think, I also think that Eckler has looked good all summer.
Yeah.
So what he's doing is a surprise. And I, you know, it's funny because after they signed him, you heard like, ah, well, you know, he's lost a step, he's lost this. Well, he had the high ankle sprain last year. That kind of impacts a running back in your ability to cut in particular. And I think what we're seeing is you saw on, like, I think it was like the third and he had that run inside the red zone, like on third. It was the one that set up the fourth and one where they had the fall, the first false start. But he had that run. He's like, he's almost slaloming down the slope, like just the way his body's moving and swerving and cutting in short space was impressive. And that's what you see from him too. So, you know, he's pretty strong for his size. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that's a good combination for them. And I think you know, I think you can lean on that a little bit more. You know, you can continue to lean on that as you go forward, because I think that's, you want to create an identity. I think you can start with those guys.
Listen, I love that we had 37 minutes of time of possession. That was amazing. I mean, that was really a key. But I'm not still sold on this offense yet. I don't get it. And right when I was about to explode, they finally run that little creative little screen play or whatever that you know, and that was great. And then they started throwing downfield a little bit. I know they're trying to break Daniels in slowly, and they don't want to expose him, and they don't have the greatest offensive line. I get it. But, like, you know, 10, 11, 12 passes behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, the way they're utilizing Terry is kind of frustrating. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it yet. I'm torn on this one.
Yeah, and, you know, I think part of it, too, is how does watching Jaden evolve as the quarterback, right? And just there's a couple of things. One thing I really liked from yesterday, he doesn't force the ball into areas, right? And they're playing a lot of zone. They're keeping everything in front, and they knew about the pressure, so they want to get things out quick. So I get that. But what I also like – there was a play early in the game where the New York blitzed a little bit more than I thought they would. Well, actually, not that I thought. Then they showed in the first week. But it's not surprising because you knew they had problems with it last week, so they're going to continue to face that. But there's one time where it's like, okay, you know, you had a swing pass to Robinson, but the dig to Diami is open on the other side. So, you know, if I think it's one of those things like you're not expecting the blitz, but then the backside safety comes, and then if you see that, you can get to the backside. That's part of the growth of a quarterback, right? And I think, you know, there's sometimes even last week where that was the case where he admitted that there's sometimes you're predetermining a read, and then can you go to something else as you get more comfortable? I think the answer with him is yes. So that's where I think you can see the growth. Like, the growth potential is there because of his growth potential. I mean, he's making plays and not turning it over while he's learning the position in the NFL. And, you know, I think you can watch guys like Caleb Williams and see, like, you know, it's not easy, even if you have a lot of talent around you. And so I think that's where the growth potential is. And then this, the run game, I'll take my chances with an offense that's gaining 425 yards and getting in the red zone a lot, because eventually you've got to break through, right? I mean, you would think, right? And so, like, that's like for the offense, the encouraging thing is you move the ball up and down the field. It's just that in the red zone, the penalties, the sacks, that's where, and then it's like, do you have the guys to then get free down there enough to win? And so, like, that's where it's like, can they do that? But
And they caught two major breaks, John, because of the Gano hammy.
Oh yeah.
And then the neighbors drop. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You talked about the false starts, 10 penalties for 70 yards. I don't know how many of those were offensive. I think the majority of them.
Seven or maybe.
Yeah. Is that all on the offensive line, or is some of that because of cadence for Jaden? Yeah. What's going on there?
I think because like we saw that this summer too. There were a decent number of false start penalties in practices.
Oh, okay.
And oftentimes it can go back to cadence. It's not blaming the quarterback. I think it's getting used to the quarterback's cadence for guys in certain areas. And if you're changing it up in certain areas, and I was talking to Nick Allegretti, the guard, about this afterwards, he's like, if a new guy comes on board and everything's established, it's a little bit easier to get used to something versus everybody is getting used to everything at this point. So, is it just that? I don't, I think for their sake, they have to hope so, because otherwise it's a bigger problem, because you would think that you can get used to that by now. What I'd say is it's completely unacceptable. I mean, it killed them a number of times. Like, it's great to control the ball, but if you control the ball like this and settle for field goals against Cincinnati, Arizona, you're losing both games, period. Because it's always about controlling the ball, resulting in touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can beat a bad team that way, but you can't beat a good team that way. And so, I think some of that is related to that. But again, by this point, you need to start getting a little bit more used to it than to keep committing those kind of penalties. I mean, that's a killer. One of the things I like with this coaching staff is that they will say, this is unacceptable. I don't, even Joe Witt last week was like, I don't want to hear that it was one, first game, because you only get 17 of these things. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be better each time. I think that's the only approach you can take, because I think if you take that, you have a better chance to get better rather than, trying to find reasons why or making excuses. Like, no.
Well, John, it is to tell the truth Monday. I'm sure it's really different than what they've done in the past, but he's got a brand name to it.
Yeah, he does. And there's a lot of truth telling that needs to be told, because especially on defense, like, there's just things that are, it just has to be better. And, but the penalties there, they don't have the playmakers to overcome. Like, what they had to do is go on these long drives. And that's a hard way to sustain life in the NFL on offense. It's why playmakers get paid a lot of money, because you can shorten those drives, and you don't have enough of those guys to offset committing those to shooting yourself in the foot that often. You just can't. But they're getting, but here it goes back to like Daniel's ability to be very smart with the ball. And I don't know that I remember a pass in the last two games. You're like, oh man, that should have been picked. Whereas like with Howell, with Heineke, with those guys, like there'd be like, oh yeah.
Maybe the floater to Ertz, maybe. That was kind of a floater.
And he couldn't step into that one, but that wasn't a bad decision. You can't step in.
They're not living on the edge like they did with Howell and other guys, for sure.
In his back pocket. And so I think when you make the other mistakes, if you're not turning it over, you still have a chance.
Yep.
And that, but, there are definitely things that have to get better. But, I think the number one thing I'd be encouraged by is just the way a young quarterback has handled himself in the game. I mean, the run game is really good. So,
thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, we should do a Tell the Truth Monday.
Well, coming up next, we'll hit the Skins, and we can take a deep dive on why they were 0-for in the red zone and what they can do to correct that, because they didn't punt. They moved the ball a ton. They dominated time of possession. They ran for over 200 yards, but they couldn't punch it in the end zone. 800-636-1067. Why is that so? Do you put that on the coaching? Do you put that on the offensive line? The penalties? And what can they do to correct it? We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067 as we hit the Skins here on the Junkies.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Time to hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. You need to hit the skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. So we wanted to hit the red zone woes. Officially 0-for-6 in the red zone. It started on that very first drive where they had the ball for basically 10 minutes.
Yeah, they were just owning the first quarter.
It gets to a fourth and one.
It's great.
They decide to go for it on fourth and one, and they have a false start. And that was foreshadowing of later on where they had, later in the game, two false starts on one red zone trip. So penalties was definitely an issue.
To me, that was the biggest issue. I refuse to say we have a red zone issue yet. Penalties just destroyed.
No, that continues.
Yesterday. But if it continues, okay. But with Jaden being the weapon he is, with Eckler, B-Rob, you know, running as hard as he is, and now, honestly, with the emergence of Noah Brown and his size, I don't see why we can't use it. And Ertz, I think we will be fine. I'm not going to say we're going to be extraordinary in the red zone. I think we'll be fine. To me, the number one issue, and everyone needs to evaluate themselves, players, coaches, are the penalties.
I'd like to see them lean into two guys in the red zone. Ertz, Eckler. Eckler always has a nose for the end zone. He's proven that throughout his career.
Yep.
And Ertz is a big target down there. They don't have a lot of big, imposing physical targets on the roster. I know Noah Brown, I think he's 6'1", maybe, but Ertz should be featured down near the end zone, I would think.
I know it's bad for taking hits, but I think their biggest weapon overall and their biggest weapon in the red zone should be Jaden Daniels.
Week
one, Jaden Daniels ran for two touchdowns. Yeah. And I know the second one, it was kind of a meaningless drive, whatever.
Wasn't meaningless.
But I think Jaden Daniels, did he have 9 or 10 rushing touchdowns last year at LSU?
10, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's your biggest weapon. Well, and I'm going to lean into play calls They're going to put Jaden Daniels on the perimeter. We did see a throw on the run yesterday. We didn't really see any in week one. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not under center. So, like, traditionally, a lot of those bootlegs you see quarterbacks run where they fake the handoff, it's when they're under center. But I'd like to see them lean into some more creative plays for Jaden Daniels. Because I just think he's your best one.
Well, they might, but
he's by far the...
Really want him taking more hits?
No, I don't want him taking more hits. Yeah. I wouldn't do, you know, quarterback runs up the middle.
No, done, I don't like that.
Yeah, let's minor in those.
I'm saying perimeter where he's got somebody, whether it's a tight end floating, but somebody coming in a slant as he rolls to the right.
I can remember,
and he could just either throw it out of bounds or, you know, if nothing's there, or he could outrun somebody on the edge.
Nobody's going to beat him to the sideline. He can get 7 or 8 yards to the sideline almost any time he wants.
Because, look, as good as Terry McLaurin has been, one of the knocks against him is he really hasn't had a bunch of touchdown catches in his career. He's not a big touchdown guy.
Right.
Noah Brown, maybe he's going to be that imposing guy.
Noah Brown could be that guy.
It's possible. It's possible, and I don't have great faith in Zach Ertz.
I don't know.
He's been nice in terms of his red zone threat.
Here's the faith I have in him, that he can catch balls and fall into the end zone.
Yeah, like, he's a big dude.
He's not a big yak guy at this point in his career. Those days are done. But he's a big enough target where if you throw him the ball, he can fall, he can go 1 or 2 yards into the end zone.
He can still get open, and he catches the ball. And he's a vet.
Right.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be an asset in the red zone.
And utilize him while he's still healthy.
But I would lean into running, even though Robinson was excellent yesterday, running Eckler more in the red zone and lean into creative Jaden Daniels option plays in the red zone.
I'd like to see a lot more creativity all the way around. Because I'm telling you, these freaking little screens behind, it's fine, one or two. The whole country knows when they're coming.
Look, if you have a wide receiver screen, how many yards did McLaurin have total?
22.
He's averaging like 3 yards a catch.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get popped right there.
They're killing him.
I think Eckler needs to be targeted more than he was targeted twice in the first game, mm-hmm. 3 times in the second. I think you got to target him like 10 times.
I don't know about 10 per game, but it's going to keep building.
I think you do.
Will keep building.
Why not?
Throughout
they
the
told why neighbors.
Every time he touches
times.
The ball, he gets like 7, 8 yards.
Well, yeah, he's explosive.
Look, maybe he will get targeted 8 to 10 times as the season progresses.
I think he should.
He's one of their few guys. Jaden's the other that could take it to the house at any moment.
That's true.
So I'm telling you, my red zone prescription is Eckler and Jaden. More of those two.
Sure. I like both
in the red zone.
I'm not willing yet to say they have a red zone problem. I'm writing it off to penalties. Now, next week, if they go in there and they go 0-for in the red zone again and they don't have the penalties, then I'll acknowledge something's going on.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. I do largely agree with you, though, EB. The penalties was the true backbreaker this week.
Devastating.
And if that continues, to me, it's more of a fluky thing. If it continues, you can say, okay, it's wrong. They fall apart in the red zone. This shouldn't happen.
I think it's 17 penalties through 2 weeks. Let's tie that up.
Here's a red alert, red flag. Very Ron-like. That coaching staff is on alert for me. That honeymoon, over. I'm
but
over that.
Hold on. You got to put some of it on the players.
Of course.
You got to put some of it on the players.
Of course, but they have to demand execution. And you heard Keim say it. They were doing this all in preseason. They were jumping off sides all over the place.
They needed to play with each other a little bit more.
What's going on?
And can somebody give us clarity on the Jamin Davis healthy scratch? We need to know what happened.
Maybe there was some sort of weird scheme where they thought maybe they needed another player. Okay, and he's still new at the position, but he does have get off that nobody else appears to have.
Yeah. He showed some bursts in week one.
Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, we won yesterday, but to me, it doesn't really feel like it. I feel like we won the game because they lost their kicker. The offensive scheming was lacking. It lacked creativity. It lacked motion. It just lacked production. As far as the red zone deficiencies, I'd like to see them target our tight ends more. I'd like to see them create space. But here's the problem. Why is it that we can only run the ball from shotgun formations? Like, it's a proven point. The best way to bring along your young quarterback is to get him under center. And yet, the majority of our plays are from shotgun. I just don't understand. I mean, I know I'm not paid to draw up offensive
plays. I don't think he's as comfortable doing it. I think he's mostly been a shotgun quarterback. And I guess Kingsbury, for the most part, has had guys in shotgun. Because Kyler's a shotgun guy, right? I'm just thinking of his most recent quarterbacks. So it's not the type of system that they run. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think bootlegs with – if you ran bootlegs under center with Jaden Daniels – and you had a couple of receivers running a slant, it would be deadly.
Well, it's a proven point. It's a proven fact that you can't see the ball if the quarterback is behind center and playing low. So if he's got his back to the defense, it makes it even harder for them to see the ball. But if we run the ball out of shotgun every formation when it matters, they see it coming. I just would like to see more variety from the formations that we line up in before we snap.
Well, they do run the read option, though. Like, if you remember early in the game, the slant, right after he took that big hit, and Driscoll hands off on his one snap, and then Jaden came back in, I believe they ran that read option. I'm calling it a read option where
zone read, whatever.
Yeah, he fakes the handoff, and then the linebackers moved up, and he hit that slant to Terry McLaurin. So that's their version of the play action.
Right. But there was at least once, maybe twice, where he gave it to B-Rob, where I thought he should have pulled it back and taken off because the D-tackle or linebacker or whatever was right there.
Yeah.
Like, it was maybe a bad read, in my opinion.
Or maybe in his head he knows that people are saying 16 carries is too much, and he didn't want to look like he's just taking off every time.
He's like, here, well, B-Rob.
Because he still had 10.
Can't play that way. Then what are we doing? I mean,
I'm just saying that it could be in his head a little bit.
I don't know. One thing I'll say I love about Jaden, I mean, I love pretty much everything, is his composure. Yeah. He just looks so calm and cool, collected.
Not fazed by anything.
I'm telling you, this team has a lot of issues. I can't really think of too many that regarding the quarterback.
Feeling pretty good about the pick.
I'm feeling amazing about the quarterback.
You're here, the Caleb Williams is in Chicago and Jaden Daniels is here.
That guy just running around like a chicken with his head cut off all the game. He's got a great arm and he makes some great throws, but he's going to have a bunch of bad ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of bad plays. Let's go to Peter. Peter, what's up?
Hey guys, listen to your show every morning.
Thanks, man.
I love it. Listen, the thing I think about it is the defense, we all know all the problems that they have, but the defense kept them from scoring the two-point conversions three times in a row. That was a big stop. That might have been the game. You know, that's, and another thing is that, you know, the whole idea that the defense is bad, and they are. They're not playing together. They're going to play better in a little while. I don't know how good they're going to be, but they're going to be better. And the offense running up 415 yards, whatever it is, that's pretty impressive. And when's the last time JP gave a Skins quarterback an A? That's a big
deal. He probably gave Howell an A or two.
I might have to go back to the late 90s.
Come on. Howell had a couple games last year.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
I mean, maybe even the opener for Carson Wentz.
Probably RG3.
Did Wentz have like four touchdowns in his debut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he had two interceptions. You probably didn't give him an A.
Yeah, not if he had two picks.
Let's go to Bobby. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, man. Good to talk to y'all. What I'd like to see him do is have a two running back set with the two best pass catching backs they got. Do a sweeps round either way, then Daniels can have a run-pass option, or even put McCaffrey back there as quarterback and let him run a pass option if you don't want to get Daniels killed. And then it's, you know.
I don't Bobby's think you want to take Daniels off the field.
Bobby's has some exotic plans for the offense. Send that suggestion to one Cliff Kingsbury.
I don't take Daniels off the field. He's your best player.
Right. I mean, that's just
One time they did try to have B-Rob under center, we had a false start.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Kingsbury could use some suggestions. All right. I don't care if it's Bobby or anybody. Somebody get in his ear.
I have been less than thrilled with the coaching all the way around.
Has Jaden Daniels even been under center? I haven't charted it.
That's not something that I noticed.
He was under center yesterday.
Couple times?
Yep, a couple times.
That's not something that I'm locked in on.
I'll tell you who's been a little disappointing. Senate. That was a big time false start.
10-minute
drive, get down to the 4-yard line, coming out of a timeout.
Yeah.
The big play.
Spotlight shining right on him.
He just gets so nervous.
But
right
you know
there.
How he gets off on that? It's because everyone else was doing it too.
So he, I know, but you scored zero touchdowns in the red zone yesterday. Zero touchdowns.
I know. I mean, believe me, that was a killer, devastating call, devastating play by him.
And he got. That's why Ertz is out there 42-13 yep. on the sack. You trust him.
Well, yeah, I mean, but Ertz is a proven veteran. Ertz
he was balling yesterday.
Ertz so far has proven, and they said he was having an amazing preseason,
yep.
that he's still got a little life left to him. As Cake says, as long as he can stay healthy. Eckler has life to him. They do have a few weapons. Sorry, I hate to say it. You guys don't like
they've
it.
They've got a few.
I think they've got a few weapons.
It's an evergreen.
They've got enough.
I love the bit.
They've got enough to score points in this league.
They've got enough to beat the Giants.
What?
Never give up the bit.
Well, I like the weapons even more with the emergence of Brown. And by the way, I was so thankful that Jaden had that throw to shut up everybody that said he couldn't throw over the middle and he couldn't complete downfield. You know, I was really – I love that. They don't win without Noah Brown yesterday. Now, there are a lot of reasons why they don't win, probably if their kicker's healthy. There's a lot of things that needed to happen, but they definitely don't win without Noah
Brown. They got hooked with the Gonneau injury.
It definitely helped
That's
them.
A 100% hook job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
They'll take it, though.
And the neighbors drop.
Yeah,
I agree.
The neighbors drop.
But if I'm Zach Taylor, I'm looking at that defense, I'm going, Jamar, you're getting 20 targets.
You're getting all the workload you'll ever want.
You're going to get as many as neighbors got.
If neighbors catches that fourth down,
yeah.
the Commanders likely don't get the ball back.
Right.
I don't remember exactly how many timeouts they had at the time. Like maybe they could do timeout, 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 and it's run, 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 kick, which would be a dicey kick.
Yeah, they.
But they're close
they
enough that I think
maybe
they might, probably let the punter go out and kick it because it would have been, you know, a 30-yarder.
We were fortunate to win. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, you need breaks sometimes.
Fortunate to win, but it ain't like the Giants are that good.
They aren't.
It's
that's why you had to beat them.
It's a red flag, man. This week, this could get ugly.
Victory Monday here really on ugly. The Junkies, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Coming up next, it's the Junkies Blitz. We'll go around the NFL, and we'll tell you what we learned in week two. All right, time now for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture.
I got to tell you, after the win yesterday,
yep.
I celebrated by hitting 110 balls in the backyard.
That was your celebration? Okay.
Nice.
I can't even turn my back. Like, my back is so jacked up. It was just insanity.
Hey, but you got a dub.
Got a dub.
All right, but time now to go around the NFL. Week two, what did we learn for the Junkies Blitz? We learned Marvin Harrison Jr. is not a bust. Two touchdowns. In a 41-10 rout of the Rams, who dropped to 0-2. Kyler Murray is also pretty damn good. He had three touchdown passes, ran for 59 yards. That offense was looking nice. Was
James Conner, 21 carries for $122 and a touchy. The Rams might be in trouble because
they had a lot of offensive line issues.
Offensive line, they've got their top two receivers now hurt because Cakes Jinx, Cooper Kupp said he's going to have 200 catches last week, and now he's probably going to be out for a few weeks.
It's kind of hard to catch balls when you're in a walking boot.
Yeah,
like he was when he left the stadium.
So Cooper Kupp's going to be out. Nakua's out. They've got nobody to throw to. The Rams are probably out of all the 0-2 teams, they might be in the worst trouble.
Valdezzi, why is everybody picking on you in here saying Valdezzi had a rough weekend?
Well, because,
you weren't here on Friday. Right?
Yeah. But he, number one, said Marvin Harrison Jr. is a bust.
I remember that.
Well,
I'll
slightly defend him.
He was emotional.
He was emotional. He was in panic mode because he's overweight on Marvin Harrison.
I have a lot of shares of Marvin Harrison.
As they say in the fantasy streets, he's got a lot of Marvin Harrison.
Are you feeling better about him now?
It's a great game, but Charles Rogers has had a bunch of great games, too.
You've got a lot of MHJ bags is what you have. And they came through yesterday.
Yeah. They performed 60 yarder yesterday.
So if you want me to get to it, all right. Well, the Ravens lost.
Right.
That's a big one.
I was crushed.
What did he say about blue hair?
By the way, we'll get to that.
That wiped out, I think, 24% of the Circa field, the Ravens losing to the Raiders.
So Ravens had a
I mean,
I was just watching a red zone, but it looked like they had a lead. They were going to win the game. Mm-hmm. And then Gardner Minshew mania, led them on three fourth quarter scoring drives.
Wow.
30 completions.
30 for 38 for 276. One touchdown, did have a pick. You look at what where he's throwing it to. Davante Adams, 9 catches for a 110 and a score. And Brock Bowers, 9 catches, the rookie tight end, for 98 yards. Lamar was okay. Derrick Henry found the end zone, 18 carries for 84 yards, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, the Ravens outrushed the Raiders 151-27 and lost the game. What? Like, usually that does not happen.
It's the first time Harbaugh has been 0-2 since 2015.
Tell me about the blue hair thing.
So the blue hair bit has to do with our touchdown parlay, oh, yeah. And we can get to that. He guaranteed that Amon-Ra St. Brown would get in the end zone.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then Cakes prodded him some and said, because, you know, Cakes had the marinara bath when he guaranteed.
I mean, I'm usually the guy stepping into this trap.
He put his foot in his mouth on DeVito and Giants last year, and then we had the marinara bath.
I learned my lesson.
So he said, you won't paint your hair blue if Amon-Ra doesn't get in the end zone.
Because Amon-Ra had blue hair, like, during the offseason. Uh-huh. Like, so it's kind of his thing.
Amon-Ra had 11 catches.
Right.
119 yards.
But no touchdowns.
But no touchdowns. No, and the bigger story there is, what did we learn? Maybe Tampa's legit.
Maybe Tampa's pretty good.
It's a good start.
And Baker
it's a big win.
Baker's pretty good.
All right, so hold on. Is he going to paint his hair? He got it. I mean, I know Valdez. He's a
man
of
his word. Play the audio.
I feel like he's going to do it. I feel like Valdez has to do it.
Cake seems like he's backed off.
Huh?
No, he was backed into a corner by Cake.
So now you're defending him and saying he shouldn't do it?
Cakes, can we play the drum roll?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right.
Oh, he's going to reveal? He's going to take off his hat.
He does have a hat on.
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Oh, nice.
He's got blue hair.
He's a man of his word.
Valdez is a man of his word.
How long is the blue hair going to stay?
Well, it is.
That's like the ones that the kids get that they spray.
Yeah. I feel bad because it's not like one of these permanent ones. And I think everyone was dying for it to be permanent.
Yeah.
It's one
I
of
think
those
that's
whack,
acceptable.
Yeah,
it's one of those wacky ones
for Instagram.
Where you can wash it out after a day. It's for kids. No. But this is the proper punishment, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Our big day at Monumental tomorrow.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be shamed and embarrassed and walk through their studios and offices with blue hair.
That's a good AE grab. Would you get a lot of attention?
So I think I'm going to keep it for 2 days.
Okay. All right.
And I'll reapply it in the morning before the show tomorrow.
Again, I felt bad yesterday. I saw Amon-Ra. He had 19 targets, I believe, 11 catches. I thought, for sure he's going to stumble into the end zone at some point.
Oh, by the way, one of those catches, he was about a yard short.
Oh,
he was a yard short.
How'd we do on the total to touchdowns?
Pooh.
Connor,
I think we were 2 for
Connor
6.
Hit.
I took Zeke. That definitely didn't hit.
I took Dobbins. He hit.
Gotcha.
But I think we were 2 for 6.
I would have taken a skin. I would have missed.
By the way, I did a rogue 6-leg parlay on my own after I placed ours. I was 1 Jerome Ford touchdown away from turning $10 into about $1,300.
Wow.
I was a little bit salty, but what are you going to do?
So what else did we learn in week 2?
A lot
Anthony
of guys.
Richardson, still very raw.
Yep.
Colts dropped to 0-2. They lose to the Packers.
3
Malik
picks.
Willis, congratulations. First over 100-yard game.
For Malik Willis, because everybody on the planet said the Packers are dead and buried without Jordan Love. Malik Willis is terrible. He's never going to lead them to a win. Led them to a big home win.
Yep.
Good for him.
12 of 14. Didn't turn the ball over, I don't believe.
Threw a tutty to Wicks. So good for him.
Jacobs was they just gave the ball to Jacobs all day long.
He ran for $151.
32 carries.
Yep.
What else did we learn? Maybe the Vikings are going to be okay without Kirk Cousins. 2-0 after beating your Niners 23-17.
Their secondary was awful yesterday.
Darnold had 2 touchdown passes.
Justin Jefferson
scored a 97-yarder.
He was on his way to a 200-plus-yard performance had he not suffered the quad contusion and had to leave the game. Because he was just destroying.
And they were he was killing. They were without Addison, too.
Right.
So their top two guys were down after that.
Is it Naylor? Naylor. He scored in back-to-back weeks.
Jalen Naylor.
Yep.
Well, he might be their number one if Jefferson's not playing next
week. We'll see. I think Jefferson looks like a go for next week.
What else did we learn? Bryce Young is a definitive bust. The Chargers improved 2-0. They beat the Panthers 26-3.
Who's his OC? Is it?
Well, Canales is the head coach.
Canales is the head coach. I'd have to look up the OC.
He's supposed to be the offensive guy?
Bryce Young had 18 completions for 84 yards.
And he threw
Think about
pick.
That.
So 18 Brad completions. Idzik, whoever Brad Idzik
is. 84 yards. The Panthers as a team had 7 first downs. That's how brutally bad they are. Chargers off to a 2-0 start.
I told the boys this behind the glass before the show. I think the Panthers are going to go winless.
I'll tell you what, if you are still alive in a survivor pool, you're taking the Vegas Raiders.
You're taking
next week.
The Raiders, absolutely,
and
at home.
Just to give Drabby's team some shine, Seahawks off to a 2-0 start, took overtime. They beat New England 23-20. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 12 catches for a 117. DK Metcalf, 10 for 129. One note, Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
Cakes, you love you some Antonio Gibson.
Love me my Gibby.
11 carries for the Patriots for 96 yards.
I mean, I've always loved that dude's talent. I've been a Gibby truther from day one. Also been a Trey Lance truther. So there's good and there's bad.
Everyone needs to wake up on Geno. He was 33 for 44 yesterday, which is 75%, with 6 drops.
Oh, man.
He is sick. He is so accurate. Gets the ball out. He's so fun to watch.
It's better than I thought. I'll give you that.
No, he's elite, is what he is.
Elite Geno.
It's funny. I was telling Drab, I can't remember who it was, but it was an NFL analyst, probably one of these former quarterbacks, who said that people would be talking about Geno Smith being a top 5 quarterback if he just had more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And he actually said, okay. He said the touchdown thing, he goes, it was just a function of their offense, that when they got into the red zone under Pete Carroll and whoever the offensive coordinator was, they didn't really throw the ball that much. They'd like to pound it and run it in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe Geno is elite. I mean, if you look at his stats right now through 2 weeks, he's in top 5 in every category.
44 passing attempts, just 19 rushing attempts in yesterday's game.
Well, Kenneth Walker was hurt.
That's true.
So they went with Zach Charbonnet, but Metcalf had a bomb diggity.
He did have he did benefit from a blown coverage where he just ran straight down the field and Geno found him, but good for him.
A lot more to get into, but we're running out of time. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Commanders. The defense is leaky at best.
It is a dub.
Victory Monday. How are they going to change things on defense? Who's going to have to step up? We can open it up to your calls at 800-636-1067 as we celebrate on a Victory Monday. Brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.